Welcome back. 16 minutes past 8 o'clock. I don't know if you were anywhere on social media this morning. Parliament has now these virtual committee meetings overlooking governmental departments in its response to the COVID-19 crisis. And I must say, I've been following it for a while, and it is an absolute mess. It's a group of older people. Let's just put it out. It's a group of older people trying to get in tune with technology and not knowing when to mute the mic, not knowing that you should not frame yourself behind an open window because people then can't see you. Also, other things, you can leave your camera off, but you don't put your mute or your mic on, your mic off, and then you start cooking in the background, and the chairperson of this committee then has to ask whoever is cooking there, you're going to have to put your mic off. Now, today, there was a programming committee meeting of Parliament. This is where chief whips of all the political parties discuss what is going to be on the agenda over the next few days. And they did a meeting on Zoom. The login for that meeting was put on Parliament's Twitter account, and it meant that anyone from Joe Soap to Brett here in studio, Glynis on the other side of the glass, me sitting here, could have clicked on that and be a participant in this virtual meeting. And when I say participant, in terms of the rules of Parliament, you're not allowed to say, engage, or actively participate. And what then happened was someone who wasn't vetted came onto the group, hurled abuse at particularly the Speaker of the National Assembly, Thandi Modise, and also then flashed a whole lot of porn on this committee screens. And of course, there was great concern. There was lots of shock, and MPs shut down the meeting very quickly. But now we ask the questions, are these meetings, these virtual meetings, safe? Joining us regularly for our fortnightly Tech Talk is Nazreen Ibrahim. She is the CEO of Socially Acceptable. A lot of companies are now having to get to grips with how to meet virtually. Nazreen, over the last few weeks.
Absolutely, Lester, and good evening to you and the listeners. It's so good to talk to you again. I hope everyone's staying safe and also just managing mindset. We're getting through this time. I think managing mindset is one of the things that people have had to grapple with in terms of taking their work home. The lockdown has given a new meaning to taking work home because now we have to go online. And a lot of the time, people may use tools they're comfortable with. If they're not, they're using tools that are suggested by colleagues or clients or other stakeholders outside of their organizations. This poses a very real and glaring problem. People will not always know how to use it and may not be aware of the security risks around using them. So that's been, I think, the trending conversation theme that's been happening across the last couple of weeks. And Zoom has been the keyword, the buzzword that's been going around. Everyone's zooming in on everything, and unfortunately, zooming in on things that shouldn't be seen.
Look, I don't want to pick on a particular generation or age group, but most of our MPs are seniors. They may not have gotten to grips with technology as many of us have. I'm of the internet generation. I remember Netscape and Yahoo when it started in 1998. So I have a fair amount of early adaption in this. It would have taken a lot of planning, a lot of preparing these members to get used to this type of technology, but with a sudden lockdown, it's proving to be quite difficult, and everyone's trying to learn on the fly.
Absolutely. If anything that the lockdown has taught people is about the ability to be adaptable, but also the tech savviness that goes with any kind of office you hold or any kind of profession that you have. It's, how could I say, it's right up there with learning your ABCs these days. And this is why this whole concept of fourth industrial revolution is touted so heavily in our education system currently, with so many initiatives running across the country. But we're seeing it at real play or non-play, for want of a better word, with the people who are holding public office, and they're most in the public eye. So unfortunately, It talks to a lot of things. What is the state of our digital economy for the country, digital economy is a very big concept, a very big word that has multiple components, but it's made up of people. Mm. And so is that digital economy ready, but needs to be run by people? And how are those people going to get ready? And do they appreciate that this technology is what's going to help us have a better citizenry? So I think, you know, we always talk about this, Lester, but that's ultimately what it comes down to, people and technology.
Joining us in this conversation is Yashmita Bana. She's the CEO of Nika Technologies. Yashmita, thanks so much for joining us. When you hear of incidences of Zoom bombing, of people getting hacking into Zoom meetings, it's been happening a lot recently.
Yes, it's been happening a lot, Lester. Thanks so much for having me. And it's quite fortuitous that today is actually World Password Day. I mean, I just found out that this morning from one of my team members, and passwords is only just one very superficial fix that any of these unified communication tools can put into place. I mean, information security, that's typically what we're talking about here, has so many layers. And the way to think about it is a simple acronym, CIA. And we all know who the CIA are. And CIA stands for confidentiality of the data, integrity of the data, and availability of the data. And there are these three pillars that we need to think about. The other thing that I think is lacking with the way the government has taken to the digital platforms is they've only looked at it at one layer. There are up to six layers of possible security breaches, from your device to your application, and in this case, the application is, we're talking about Zoom. There's only one layer. We're talking about your computer, your network, your data center, and the issue we had today was around policies, procedures, and awareness. So everything everything encompasses that. It starts there at policy, procedures, and awareness. And I agree. Our government, we have a term actually for officials or anybody past a certain age. In fact, I'm almost past that age, so I don't know why I'm talking about it. But we call them BBTs, which is born before technology.
So when these BBTs get sent a link to say hook up to this website, it will activate your web screen, and you will be in a meeting. But how it goes is, and the term that has been used is hacked. This meeting wasn't necessarily hacked because Parliament said this is, we're going to have this meeting via Zoom. If you'd like to be part or at least witness this meeting, click on this link and you will then gain access. So that doesn't necessarily speak to a hack, but just leaving your back door open for people to step in, and whether they just want to prank or whether they have more nefarious motives, you've just opened up the door for them to enter.
And this is exactly what Nazreen has been saying. I mean, the basic problem today was around policy and procedure. I mean, a simple thing like do not put the password on social media, you know, or change your password every 15 days, or make sure your password has characters, alphabets, letters, whatever the case may be. This was a very, very simple mistake that's created this. So I'm of the opinion that not enough training has been given to our government officials, and this is easily solvable. I mean, we do this on a daily basis. It's continuous information sharing. It's almost like having somebody, we call it, they should have a support team. Mm. They have the state IT agency at their beck and call, and that their job should be making sure that the president is logging on, as he should be logging on, and somebody should be managing those accounts.
Now, before we before we discuss the options that are available, I've seen a message that says people shouldn't use Zoom; they should use Microsoft Teams or Google Hangouts. But it means it's the exact same thing. If you have access to the login to that Teams meeting or that Google Hangout, you just need to pretend you're someone else because you just type in the name to describe you. And then who's ever administering that door lets you in.
Yeah. Look, there's lots that, I mean, they're all unified communication tools. And there's just a few things I want to talk about. I mean, the one thing is something that's lacking from Zoom, but I see they have a 90-day plan to improve their security. But something that's lacking on their side is end-to-end encryption. So you may have noticed if you send somebody a WhatsApp message and that's the first time you send somebody a message, you'll see a message pops up in WhatsApp that says this message is encrypted end-to-end, which basically means scrambling of the message. So the message gets scrambled over the web and only the receiver and the sender will be able to decipher it, you know? So Zoom doesn't have end-to-end encryption, and today, just today, they bought a company called Keybase, and Keybase is going to be doing this for them. So there's things like that that needs to be put in place. The other thing is, I am surprised that they are using Zoom simply because at GovTech last year, towards the end of October, they signed an MOU with Microsoft. And the purpose of the Microsoft MOU was to move all government services to Microsoft Azure Cloud and then help government on this digital journey. So part of Microsoft is obviously Microsoft Teams. And Teams is integrated to Office 365, which means not just a simple unified comms platform. It integrates with Microsoft Word, with Excel. So it can give you kind of a richer experience. But it comes down to training as well. So there is a bit of surprise that they've gone with Zoom. And you wonder who's actually advising them on these things.
But Nazreen, when we talk about hackers, you know, we think of the guys who are sweating over computer, typing code, trying to get into some sort of IT facility. When people are just coming into meetings, bombing meetings, as it's now called, you know, hurling abuse, putting up unsavory pictures, is there anything that is nefarious about that, or is it just simply trolls or pranksters just hell-bent on, we just want to disrupt this meeting for no reason whatsoever? We don't want to know the intricacies of how the state works. We just want to, you know, be anarchists.
I think that's a good word, anarchist. And I'm sure Yashmita will also add more to this from the perspective of the technical perspective or profile of a hacker. But for me, generally, in understanding as a technologist, in understanding what people's approach or view might be to joining a certain communication platform that's in the public sphere is obviously to make a statement. And making a statement could come from a number of reasons. It could be, as you said, to cause some kind of chaos, to make a statement about the fact that people need to go back to work because they don't have money for food. Or they want to embarrass or humiliate the people in office because they don't necessarily agree with them. And, of course, the reasons go on and on. But the reasons are many. People are strange in their thinking. But I know from a hacker's profile, Yashmita, you would explain better what a hacker might think about hacking into those meetings.
Well, you know, some of this hacking, Nazreen, actually has almost a purpose. So if you remember the hacking that happened, I think it was at the end of April, where pictures were posted of child abuse at one of the, also a government meeting, but not in South Africa, somewhere in the UK. And that was ending a month of sexual assault awareness month. And that was done actually specifically to allow victims of sexual assault to share their stories. So sometimes, I mean, it really depends on the profile of the hacker. That specific one was done for awareness. But then you also have others that are done maliciously. I mean, on a daily basis, you must be getting, I mean, I've been getting spam emails saying, if you don't give me so much Bitcoin, and then I'm going to reveal pictures of you on the internet. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yes, buddy, please just go and spice up my life and reveal those pictures.
But do you know how many times I've won the lotto, like millions of pounds? I don't know how many times.
I'm going to make a confession on air tonight. You know, long ago when, you know, when we discovered certain closed community groups, sort of neighborhood watch groups, and me and my friends got into one, and they were saying some really vile stuff. They were racially programming, profiling people who were walking through the area. They would be really, really words used in bad taste, if not racist. So we would somehow wiggle ourselves into these groups and pretend that we live in that area and settle ourselves in. We don't go immediately. But then when we see things going that route to the route that has a bad taste, and then almost as planned, we would start posting our opinions in there. And to a point where it gets to implode this group, just so that we can show them that what you're talking about in general here, yes, it's a closed community group here, but have you actually seen the error of your way? So there is a bit of bombing there, but it's also with a message to it.
Of course. And that's why I said the profile of the hacker, I mean, it could be anything from causing chaos to making a statement. And it just really depends who's there in the dark web. You know, I mean, people ask me, how do we never get hacked? And I said, there's only one dead certain, surefire way to never be hacked. And what's that, Lester? Never go online. Because as smart as we are, and we put in processes, policies, and things to prevent the hacking, we have a hacker sitting on our shoulder that is just as smart as we are. So that is why we have to continuously be updating. If you see there's an update coming from Microsoft or from Zoom, install that update immediately, because they've put in some other measures to do protection, especially now. So it's just making sure this also would fall into the policies, procedures, and awareness layer of information security. They need to, we cannot expect our BBTs to understand this. Therefore, they need to have a team that understands this and does this for them.
There's a comment on here. Ask the ladies if they know of the internet armies trolling the scumbag online. They are groups. They are a group of men and women who make it their mission. We are going to troll. And that is their purpose in life on the internet.
Absolutely. There is personally in the Muslim community here in Durban particularly, I won't name the person, but there's a gentleman who I think the entire community knows has dedicated his life now to trolling every Muslim man and woman online by challenging their beliefs. And I feel sad when I see people trying to, come back with any kind of statement or, educate him, because it never works. So what do you do in that case? You will have these armies or trolls everywhere, but I think it's down to, and we've said this before, and I know Yashmita and I have talked about this before, is it's always down to the responsibility of the user. And that's what makes technology and people such an incredibly wonderful combination, because if you bring the right responsibility and accountability to it, then I think it makes for a wonderful outcome.
And the number one rule is, don't feed the trolls. If you ignore them, if you don't engage with them, they somewhat go away, because they're not feeding off that attention that they so want.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Because that's what they want. They want to be able to create some attention for themselves. So just ignore and block.
I think just a final thing that I thought of is, What scares me or what saddens me slightly is, if we think about that whole Cambridge Analytica scandal that happened, part of the reason that that happened was because the amount of content that was generated to change people's minds was fake or emotionally provocative headlines that actually didn't mean anything. And that's another side of trolling. So it's, you've got to think about the fine lines of what trolling actually is and be aware of it. I think awareness is great.
Now, Yashmita, why doesn't government not build its own encrypted virtual conferencing application? There is the CETA, the state IT agency. Why have they not been seconded to go build an encrypted IT package that government people in government, whether you're a minister or an MP, that you could then have a meeting, that's encrypted and can't be accessed by someone who's not supposed to be there?
I think it's also speed of implementation, especially now. I mean, we went into lockdown very quickly, so we had to use the tools at our disposal. And sometimes, I mean, we don't really need to add another tool and confuse everybody. These tools that we have currently, I think, are more than sufficient. It's just an awareness and understanding on how to use them. I mean, you know, implementation of a tool like that is not a very easy thing because there's so many layers and components and security points and, you know, integration to think about as well. I mean, Microsoft Teams has over 70 integrations through something called APIs. So it's not really easy to get something like that off the ground so quickly. So I understand why they've used an existing tool. And if they do want to do one, now's the time to start thinking mm-hmm. of a design for a tool. But I just worry about the speed of implementation.
Mm-hmm. Look, yeah. I'm not going to disrespect the senior crowd anymore. In fact, a story a little while ago, I had a chat with my mother and she had been to a workshop or something. And she hardly uses her email. But then I had to send her something. I said, oh, the file's too big. And she said, oh, no, send it to my Dropbox.
I'm like, wow.
Mother, you have a Dropbox?
Wow.
She says, yes, I have a Dropbox now. So they are not completely lost. But Nazreen Ibrahim, Yashmi Tabana, thanks so much for joining us. If you have been Zoom bombed while being in a meeting during lockdown, let me know. 021-446-0567 or drop me that WhatsApp, 072-567-1567.